Today is Monday, October 23rd. We're going to be working on nerve impulse transmission review and a Q&A time for exam number 3. Okay, so we'll start on page 95 with nerve impulse transmission. We'll pretend that we've never done this before. Start from the very beginning. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to draw on the board. Maybe I should leave them up a little bit for you. Is that better? So why don't we start by talking about a cell at rest? And you know, the conversation could be about a polarized or a resting state for a muscle. It could also be a resting state for a nerve. So since our chapter right now focuses on nerves, we'll just assume that this is a resting neuron. And so we're going to look at a piece of the axon. That's the portion of your neuron that leads away from the cell body. And so we know this axon is going to contain some pumps on there. These pumps are specialized because they move sodiums and potassiums in and out of the cell. What type, or how many sodiums does this pump tend to move out?
Three.
Good. So three sodiums out.
Two potassiums in.
Two potassiums in. Good. So this pump is always working. And this pump is kind of like picking up the stragglers. You know, some of them leak out. Some of those sodiums leak, some of the sodiums leak in. Some of the potassiums leak out. And so this pump is helping us to maintain a resting state by returning the sodiums to the outside of the cell and putting those potassiums back inside the cell. All right, so we know that normally potassiums are found inside the cell. They have a symbol of K. And what does that positive charge tell us? It's a cation. Good. So we've got positively charged potassium ions inside your neuron. And outside the neuron, in that interstitial fluid surrounding your nerve cell, we have mostly a different kind of ion known as sodium. Good. Also a cation, and you know this because it carries what?
Positive charge.
Positive charge, good. Now, in order to maintain a resting state for a nerve or for a muscle, we have to make sure that more of the ions are in which location?
Outside.
Outside, good. And so we have lots of sodiums outside. We may have a straggler or two of potassium. And mostly on the inside, we have a handful of potassiums and maybe a straggler or two of sodium that made its way in there. So seeing that we've got this polarized state set up, that means that we have more ions located where? More outside and less on the inside. And because we say that the likelihood of having more in a location is a positive charge, we say the inside then will carry what charge?
A
negative charge. Good. And what value did we assign for the inside?
Negative 70.
Yeah, MV. Yeah, millivolts. That's right. So I'm just going to put some negative charges here on the inside. Just a notation of negative 70 millivolts. So this is resting state. It's basically a polarized state where we have more charges outside the cell, less charges inside the cell. The charges located outside are mostly
sodium,
and the charges inside your cell?
Potassium.
Right. So we're looking at what's called a polarized state. That means we have an uneven distribution of charges. This pump, by moving three sodiums out and two potassiums in, further contributes to a polarized state. because it's not moving 3 for 3 or 2 for 2. It's moving 3 in, or the 3 out, rather, compared to 2 coming in. So we're looking at, you know, not really distributing these ions equally. We're looking at a disequilibrium, which is what a polarized state is. Okay, so keep in mind, we're looking at a little piece of an axon here, and now we're going to say that we've got some type of stimulus that comes along and, you know, activates or arouses our axon. So let's look at a different picture. Okay, so we are familiar with acetylcholine, so why don't we use acetylcholine? That is our neurotransmitter that often talks to our muscle cells. Let's use a different color here. Okay, that's going to be our sodium channel in orange drawn here, and we're going to have a neurotransmitter come along and bind to that sodium channel. That neurotransmitter we've talked about is acetylcholine, and acetylcholine binds, causing that sodium channel to do what?
Open.
Causes it to open. Good. So once acetylcholine binds, that causes our sodium channels to open. That sodium channel is going to allow some sodium ions to rush from the outside of the cell to the inside of that cell. Okay, and so we'll pay attention to those potassiums in just a moment. Right now, let's focus on what those sodiums are doing. Those sodiums have been stuck on the outside. They travel along a gradient from the outside of the cell to the interior of the cell. And as they come inside the cell, they lower your polarized state. As they rush in, we move from our resting state of negative 70 to negative 65, negative 60, and then boom, what happens at negative 55 millivolts? You've reached threshold. Good. So at threshold, we have what's, you know, kind of like a contagious excitement, and we are now going for it. We're going to go for this action potential. This is called a all or none principle, right? Okay. So up until you reach threshold, you're none, right? But when you reach negative 55, you've now hit the minimal number needed in order for an action potential to be sent down the length of this cell. So up until the point that you reach negative 55, we simply say that your cell is in a depolarized state. But once you hit negative 55, boom, you've hit it. It's all or none, right? Now you're going for that action potential. So the threshold value, negative 55, is critical for saying, hey, we're going for it, we're committed to it, we're looking for an action potential from negative 55 onwards, so negative 40, negative 30, and so forth. So what happens to rush into your cell to promote an action potential?
Say the question again.
What rushes into your cell to promote an action potential?
Sodium.
Good. And how much sodium has to rush in, or rather, what value do you have to meet to create threshold?
Negative 55.
Yeah, negative 55. Good. All right. So when the voltage is just right, you know, when we're getting, you know, close to that threshold value, we're going to cause neighboring voltage-gated sodium channels to open. So I'll just draw another one over here. And that one's excited that its neighbor opened up. It doesn't even take acetylcholine to open up that neighboring sodium channel. It's just excited for its neighbor. It says, you know what, I'll open up too. And so it opens, and now sodium says, okay, I got more gateways I can travel through. And so even more sodium comes flooding into your cell. Okay, So this is going to further enhance our creation of an action potential and guarantee that it travels down the length of our cell. Think about here. Is depolarization a guarantee of an action potential?
No.
No, you've got to hit a particular number to guarantee an action potential. And what is that number?
-55.
Good. And that -55 is known as?
Threshold.
And all the while that psylliums are rushing in, guess who is restoring the resting state in the background? The pump. Yeah, so you've got to work faster than the pump, right? Because the pump says, I clean up the mess, I pump out the 3 sodiums and back in the 2 potassiums. So you've got to work faster than that pump to guarantee that you've hit threshold and can conduct an action potential. So all you need is enough excitement, enough sodium coming in through one of those sodium channels to guarantee neighboring sodium channels are also going to experience the excitement. So imagine that you live in a really cool neighborhood and you have like this wild party at your house, and your neighbor said, that looks like fun, instead of calling the cops, right? So no one ever. And so instead of calling the cops on your really awesome party, they said, I'm going to join in too. And they turn up the music, they're out in the street, and their neighbor said, that looks like a lot of fun. So that's what happens when you reach threshold. You now have what's going to happen down the block is going to continue the excitement. So threshold guarantees that we continue opening up those sodium channels and we send that action potential down that length of the neuron.
So when you talk about excitement, as far as like exam and stuff goes, when you, if you were to ask us about excitement, that just means, does that mean, that doesn't mean threshold, because threshold is action potential. Excitement just means when, has all the sodium coming in?
It's the sodium coming in.
That'd be like a stimulus, wouldn't it?
It's like a stimulus, yeah. And I'd have to be very specific in saying to you guys, I'm talking about like excitement that either reaches threshold, which is depolarization, mm-hmm. or, you know, maybe I don't reach threshold and I'm not quite that excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, potassium, let's talk about its story here. Potassium had a nice thing going on. It was the only game in town inside your cell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And potassium is still inside when all these sodiums come rushing in. There's potassium say, you know, we had a really nice quiet thing going on here inside this neuron, and now you've let the party in, and we're so over this, we're leaving. So the potassiums then start leaking out. Good. So let's get ourselves some potassium channels.
So where does the ACH come from?
Okay, that may come from, like, I want to move my muscle. That may want to come from a bump, like hitting your funny bone. But most likely, like a thought process. Okay, so these potassiums say, you know what, enough's enough, I'm getting the heck out of here. So they leave through open potassium channels, but they're a little slow on the opening. So it allows for us to, you know, kind of delay their exiting. So for a time period here, you've got both sodiums and potassiums hanging out together inside your muscle or nerve cell. And then those potassiums say, you know, I think I've had enough. And then they start leaking out through these open potassium channels. Okay, so that's going to lead us to the next step, which is going to be the cleanup step. We call that step of restoring the resting state. What do we call that step?
Repolarization.
Repolarization, good. Thank you. okay, so here's the problem. We've already had the action potential travel down the length of our axon. This is a nerve impulse. It's going to head to the axon terminals, and it's going to be transmitted to the next cell. But we have to clean up stuff and put it back like it was at resting state. And having these potassiums leak out is just the start of restoring our resting state. So we've got two problems here. At the height of nerve impulse transmission, we are looking at around 30 millivolts inside that neuron. Well, we know that resting state's not positive 30 millivolts. It's closer to what? Negative. Yeah, so we've got to actually get our resting state back to a negative value. Resting state is not a positive value like we saw in this action potential picture. So that's one issue I've got to do. I've got to get my resting state back to a negative 70. Okay, and the second issue I've got to handle here is, where are my ions supposed to be at rest? What is supposed to be inside your cell?
Potassium.
Potassium. And outside?
Sodium.
Yep. So all this time that we've been talking about this, these potassiums have been leaking out these potassium channels. These potassium channels, like I mentioned, are kind of slow to open, but once they open, then those potassiums flow from high concentration inside your cell to the lower concentration outside your cell. So they've leaked out of our cell, and that's actually put the majority of our ions back outside. If the majority of our ions are back outside, what charge must we have outside? Yeah, positive. Okay? And that means the inside has what charge?
Negative.
Yeah, negative. So it on face value looks like we did our job, right? We got our negative resting 70 millivolts back. But there's a big problem here. Are our ions in the right location?
No.
Okay. So how do we get them back to their proper locations?
Through the pumps.
Through the pumps, yep. So let the pump go to work, and it's going to move how many sodiums out?
Three sodiums.
Yep. Take three sodiums out and two potassiums in. La-da-da. We have to sit here and wait because we have to wait for the pump to work. And as long as the pump is working, are you truly back at resting state? Not yet. And so you're in a period known as the refractory period. Yeah, so you just got to sit here and wait for that refractory period to get its job done. And then you can start back over with another nerve impulse or another action potential. So your motor skills depend on the speed of your pumps. And those pumps are powered by ATP. So, you know, some people have very fast motor skills, they type fast, they play the piano quickly, they're great at playing sports, they can get out of the way of something very quickly or go for the ball really quick. Other people may not have such fast sodium potassium pumps. So your motor skills are really dependent upon these sodium potassium pumps. So it's two things that we have to do to get ourselves back to a resting state. We've got to restore the charge inside to negative 70 millivolts, and we've got to get our ions back to their proper locations, okay? Now, there's a couple of terms that were toward the very end of class that we talked about in here on Wednesday of last week. These terms are on page 96, so let me take you there about halfway down the page. Okay, so number four, letter A, has something called a graded potential. And so a graded potential has to do with this step here in the middle. If you don't reach threshold, we say you've got what's called a graded potential. Yeah, I use the analogy of sitting at a stoplight, somebody revving their engine, the engine sputters and dies before the stop, before they can pull away from the stoplight. That's a graded potential, meaning they have not reached what critical value.
Negative 55 threshold, right.
So if that graded potential meets threshold, then we can say, okay, we've reached threshold. That graded potential can now turn into a
action
potential. Good. Okay. So I want to make sure we hit that word again. Another term there under 4B is called hyperpolarization. Okay, so if you read along there with me, it says, when the stimulus changes the environment and gates open, either sodiums can rush in, leading to a state of depolarization, or potassiums can leak out, causing a state of hyperpolarization. So let's talk about that for just a moment. If you go back here to this picture in the middle for depolarization, you might say, okay, I've got these sodium channels open, but I'm not hitting threshold. So maybe I'm like at negative 60. Maybe these potassiums get really angry and they say, oh, we're out of here, we're leaving right now. And so a lot of potassiums leak out more so than sodiums come in. Where does that put the majority of your ions?
Outside,
yeah. And the outside becomes really positive and the inside becomes really
negative.
And so instead of going back with that sodium potassium pump to negative 70, we may become negative 80, negative 90, negative 100, negative 110. And what are we doing in terms of reaching threshold? Going further away, right. So if you hyperpolarize a cell, your chances of producing an action potential, they're just not there. So let me give you an example of why you might want to do this. In the summertime, we often have somebody tell us, hey, don't eat a big meal and go for a swim, right? Ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you had a meal, maybe a pretty big meal, where is the blood going in your body?
Stomach.
Yeah. Going to your stomach and to your digestive organs. And if you get in the pool and start roughhousing and you're in the deep end of the swimming pool, blood doesn't need to go to your stomach, it needs to go to your muscles, right? Okay, so here's the deal. If you're having a really big meal, you're depolarizing your stomach muscles and you're hyperpolarizing your arms and legs. And so that's why, you know, they say don't go for a swim after a big meal. Your body is actually making your muscles hyperpolarized and your stomach and digestive organs depolarized. You notice how you feel just like, I want to lay down and have a nap after a big meal?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You're hyperpolarizing one set of muscles and depolarizing another. Okay? So hyperpolarization is actually a case where you have more potassiums leak out and your charge inside becomes really, really negative. Something like negative 110, for instance.
So that will cause you to get muscle cramps and something like that?
Bingo. Yep. Because there's not blood going to those muscles, it's going to other body parts.
It's just like what you said earlier, when the muscles are, when the body's telling the muscles to fight fire and be able to move, but they're not doing anything, and then it just causes them, like you say, get hyperpolarized.
Right, it's because there are nerve impulses that tell those cells to leak sodium, or leak potassium rather, and then so yeah, they become very negative and don't contract when they're stimulated. Yeah. Okay, feeling a little bit better. Okay, so the story continues on page 97. I think the only term we did not discuss on that page was the very bottom term, saltatory conduction. So I tell you, we always do things the hard way, right? So what we've been doing is nerve impulse transmission along an unmyelinated axon. What does it mean to be unmyelinated?
No
myelin sheath, no white matter, no wrappings. And so we've done it the hard way. Of course we did, you know. That's going to be a nerve impulse that takes longer to travel down the length of the cell. The actual speed comes from having a myelinated axon, and that's what you're looking at here. this axon has myelin sheaths. Those myelin sheaths have little gaps between them called nodes of Ranvier. And now, when you send a nerve impulse transmission, the only place you have to depolarize and reach threshold are those bare naked nodes of Ranvier. So you'll notice that the nerve impulse literally skips over the myelin sheath. We depolarize at the node, skip again, depolarize at the node, and we just hop, skip, and jump. And that means that nerve impulse transmission runs more quickly when you have a myelinated axon. So the name of this, very bottom of your page, is called saltatory conduction. Okay, the name of this is called saltatory conduction, and that's how myelinated axons send nerve impulses more quickly. By the way, that's a commonly missed question on former tests. You may want to mark that word, saltatory conduction. Did you have a question for me?
So conduction means the same thing as propagation?
Same thing, yeah. Conduction and propagation are kind of like sending the nerve impulse down the lymph, yeah. Caleb. You've got gray matter on the outer portion of the brain. That's going to be one location, and the butterfly-shaped gray matter inside the spinal cord is the other main location. Most of our peripheral nerves are, in fact, myelinated, so it's just mostly central nervous system has some specific areas. So the part of the story that we're already familiar with is actually the last page there. That's page 98. If you reach threshold and if you send the nerve impulse or an action potential down the length of your cell, in other words, like using those terms, if you propagated it or conducted it down the length of your cell, then we eventually run into one of these axon terminals. That axon terminal is going to ensure that the nerve impulse travels to the neighboring cell. We're going to talk about acetylcholine since that's the neurotransmitter we're most familiar with. And so when the action potential arrives down here, what ion has to come into your axon terminal?
Calcium.
Calcium, good. That allows for vesicles of neurotransmitter to exit like little blisters popping. Through exocytosis, good. And then what happens next?
It goes into the synaptic clefts and it goes through the
ion channels it binds to.
Binds to what kind of ion channels?
Sodium
channels. And what happens to them now?
They open up.
And what happens if we have enough sodiums come into the neighboring cell? You can reach. Yeah, and if you've got, say, negative 60, then you hit negative 55, you've now reached threshold. Yeah. And if you do that, then now you can send a nerve impulse down that neighboring cell. If you don't have enough sodium rush in, what did we say has happened to this neighboring cell? Did it reach threshold?
No, it's a graded potential.
It's a graded potential. Good, good. So if you reach negative 55, you're guaranteed what? Action potential. Yeah, that threshold value guarantees you an action potential. But if you don't quite make it to negative 55, that's a great word. Graded potential means that you didn't quite get there. So what happens to that neighboring cell?
It doesn't fire an impulse.
So it just sits there. It says, you know, it's kind of like you tickled me. You know, you didn't really do anything. So it doesn't really fire off an impulse. So it just returns back to its resting state. Okay. This, I hope, is something familiar. This is what we covered back when we discussed muscles and how that neuromuscular junction operates. Okay. So very bottom of your page, let me introduce you to two terms. They look intimidating, but they're really not. You'll notice the first term on the bottom of page 96. Oops, sorry, 98, is called an EPSP, or an excitatory postsynaptic potential. The other term is called an IPSP, or an inhibitory postsynaptic potential. All I need to know is E or I. Okay, so what does excitement tell me we're probably going to do to that cell?
Depolarize,
meet threshold, conduct an action potential. What ions are coming into my cell when I'm exciting that cell?
Sodiums,
good. So let's go back to our example of being in a swimming pool. Or let's step back even further than that. If you just ate a really large meal and your body's full of food, your blood is being sent to your stomach to digest that food. And so where are we exciting the muscles? Digestive tract, stomach, good. Okay. And so you send EPSPs to your stomach telling it to digest. And then what other body parts do you want to rest? Arms and leg muscles, right? And so an IPSP or inhibitory postsynaptic potential will tell them to rest. How do you make muscle cells have a really hard time of reaching threshold? What can you do to them?
Hyperpolarize,
right. And you open up what types of channels?
Potassium.
Yeah. So you let the potassium leak out of your muscle cells, they become hyperpolarized, and they just sit. So, you know, if you've had a big meal, you just feel like a little lump, your muscle cells are hyperpolarized. Now, if you get into a swimming pool and you start flailing around in the deep end, you're getting IPSP sent to your muscle cells, and then what happens? You get cramps, you have trouble staying afloat, because the IPSPs are sent to your muscles while the EPSPs are sent to your stomach, okay? We are on the cusp of talking about parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system information, and this is going to lead us into that pathway. So that's why we kind of introduce it right now. Okay, so why don't I cut you loose for a few minutes and let you work on pages 99, 100, and 101. If you want to work with a buddy, feel free. Okay, page 99, that first picture shows resting potential, and it says there, what stimulates the opening of calcium channels in the axon terminal? That would be an action potential, okay? So, I'm on page 99, y'all have different questions?
Yeah,
okay.
Some people do.
What ions enter the axon terminal would be action potential.
Yeah, if you've got what ions enter them, yeah, that would be calcium ions. Let me pull up another version of the course pack and see if I can get on the same page as you guys. Let's see. I have the same printout that this one has. Okay, tell me what your second question says. Okay, so where'd you put your sodium ions? Good, good. So sodium's outside, potassium's inside at rest, and your positive charges should go where?
Outside.
And your negative charge? Inside. Good. I think no matter what version you've got, number four probably says what ion must enter the axon terminal in front of AC in order for ACH molecules to leave?
Calcium.
Once again, calcium. Good. And that second picture still has negative charges inside, positive charges outside. Okay. The next question there, number six, talks about where does acetylcholine bind once it travels through your synaptic cleft?
Sodium channels.
Good. Binds a sodium channel. And for number seven, why do sodium channels open?
Because acetylcholine binds to it.
Yep, because acetylcholine binds to it. Okay, so number seven, acetylcholine binding causes those sodium channels to open. Number eight, describe the change in charges when their sodium channels open.
Inside becomes positive, outside becomes negative.
Good. Inside values become more positive. good. Outside becomes more negative. And what drives that change? Depolarization and what's coming into your cell?
Sodium.
Good. So it's that sodium coming in that drives the change to positive inside, leaving the outside more negatively charged. For number 9, this time, where did you place your positive charges?
Inside.
Good. And your negative charges on the outside. Does depolarization guarantee an action potential?
No.
Good. Gotta meet threshold in order for an action potential to occur. Good. So, depolarization does not guarantee an action potential. You gotta meet threshold for that to happen. Number 4, let's see. Calcium must enter your axon terminal for ACH to leave. Okay. For number 11, we are going to clean up the mess, and so I didn't mention that in our review today, but ACHE stands for acetylcholine esterase, and what is the job?
Breaks down ACH to return.
Good. ACHE breaks down acetylcholine, or ACH. Acetylcholine then is returned back into the axon terminal for storage. And what does it do for your muscle or nerve cell? Returns it back to rest. Good. So having ACHE there allows your muscle or nerve cell to return back to rest. So at the height of an action potential, which is our number 5 picture, what charge do you have inside your cell? Positive, yeah. In fact, you may reach as high as positive 30 millivolts. But the charge outside your cell is?
Negative.
It's more negative. Good. And then finally, the restore state puts us back into a polarized state. So as potassium leaves the cell through channels, what begins to happen to the charge inside for number 13?
It becomes negative.
Yeah, it comes more negative. Good. So potassium leaking out makes your cell inside become more negative. What does that sodium-potassium pump accomplish in number 14? Good, yeah. Pumps out 3 sodiums to the outside. You got it. Pulls in 2 potassium to the inside. Good. And then what is the refractory period? Good. So it's the time that it takes that sodium-potassium pump to restore those ions. And you got to finish that before you can fire another nerve impulse. Good. So refractory period occurs while that sodium-potassium pump is at work. Sure. Number 11, the role of acetylcholine is to break down role of acetylcholine esterase is to break down acetylcholine. It restores your cell to a resting state by returning acetylcholine to your axon terminal. It reuptakes it into your axon terminal. So if you have acetylcholinesterase present, then we assume that your cell is going to go back to a resting state. Okay.
And what was
12, let's see. The charge inside during action potential is positive. Outside is negative, that's right. There is no sound in here on these projectors, and so I don't want to play a video and have you guys straining your ears to listen to the video. So I thought I would send this one to you. It's a really good video on nerve impulse transmission. It's about 2.5 minutes long, so that's a pretty good length. It goes through the whole process, shows you where the charges are, shows you the channels and all that stuff opening. So, you know, I'll send this one to you. I've got a couple others that I'll send out for you. So look for an email this afternoon with a link to that video. I think it's just one more way to kind of master the topic. Like we talked in here before, if you can turn the sound off and narrate the video, then you know you've really got this thing under your belt. So you know what? That is it for this chapter. That takes us to page 102. And you'll notice that page 104 is actually the beginning for a different test. Chapter 12 is found on test number 4. That is our last test in here. So your test on Monday of next week runs through pages, page 103 is your last one on that test. So I'd like to open the floor to you. Is there anything that I can go back and hit from, say, muscle system, earlier parts of nervous system for you? Iris.
Well, I had a question.
Sure. Okay.
Bottom part, what is the cause of excess
exercise?
Is that a
warning? Not really. I don't think I've got anything on there on that topic. I would just know that if you're in what's called oxygen debt, that's a fancy word for oxygen debt on the bottom of 90, that you're going to build up lactic acid and your breathing heavy is going to try to return you back to a more aerobic state of respiration. Because that's how you make 36 ATPs per glucose molecule. But we really didn't go into a whole lot of detail there. I wouldn't worry about that one. How about other topics in muscles or nerves?
Twitches are kind of confusing to me still.
Twitches? Yeah. We can hit twitches. Okay, so if you'd like to talk about twitches, they are back on pages 88 and 89. The reason we're going to break down a myogram of a twitch is because it's easy just to see what's happening when you have one stimulation of a set of muscle cells. Basically, what happens with a twitch is you have one motor unit stimulate one group of muscle cells, and that's it. And that's not normally the way we operate because that's not enough to produce any tension to produce a muscle, a full-blown muscle contraction. So nonetheless, we're going to use it to break down the three phases that happen when we stimulate a muscle cell. So the first phase that we see is called the latent period, and that occurs right after the stimulus occurs. The stimulus is a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine or ACH, and that causes what specific channels on a muscle cell to open? Sodium channels, good. And when those sodium channels open, sodium rushes in, and that changes us from a negative charge all the way to a positive charge. And that tells those sarcoplasmic reticulum to release their stored what?
Calcium.
All of that happens in this about 3 to 4 milliseconds in the latent period. That's an incredible amount of stuff happening. Once you get calcium released, we're now going to come into the contraction phase. And that means that calcium from your SR binds to troponin. And that does what? Good. Moves that rope of tropomyosin, reveals the binding sites on actin filaments. Now that you've revealed binding sites, what happens to those myosin heads?
Cross bridge.
Good. The cross bridge then allows for a pivot to occur, and then we release the head powered by ATP. Good. We then allow for another cross bridge to occur, another power stroke, another release, and we do this over and over. Because our job is to do what to those thin filaments? Pull them. Yeah, and if you pull your thin filaments closer together, what happens to the Z lines? gets shorter. Yeah, the distance is shorter. And so that, in effect, is what we have during the contraction phase. Well, if you get rid of the acetylcholine, thanks to acetylcholinesterase, then ACH is stored back in the axon terminal. And where is calcium inside the muscle cell now stored? Back in the SR. And so we're now entering this longer time period called the relaxation phase. If you get rid of the calcium inside the muscle cell, what now recovers binding sites on actin filaments? Tropomyosin, good. And so tropomyosin slips like a blindfold back down over those binding sites. Those myosin heads can no longer form cross bridges. Good, so they stay relaxed. And then what happens to the length of your sarcomere? It gets longer, stretches back out, right. So it takes a lot to clean up the mess that we made. So you'll notice the relaxation period is actually longer than it is due to experience a contraction phase. So here's the catch. If you stimulate one right after another, what are you not giving your muscle cell a chance to do?
Relax.
And if you do it fast enough, we say you're experiencing unfused or incomplete tetanus. And if you do it so fast, there is no chance for relaxation, we call that fused, yeah, or complete tetanus. We don't like that. We feel awful when we're in that phase. That's what we think of as a muscle cramp. The muscle's, you know, basically contracted and no chance for relaxation. That's a Charlie horse, okay? So normally when you pick up and do things, you're sending stimuli so quickly that your muscle cell constantly is contracting without a full opportunity for relaxation. Okay, could you recognize these phases on this myogram? Okay, this picture's on there, so you want to make sure you look over that information for the test as well. Kristen, that help a little bit? It is a multiple choice. You just have to pick the right one out of the lineup. How about your next question? Not necessarily. It depends on how frequent those stimuli are coming. Summation of twitches is also known as incomplete or unfused tetanus. But like a cramp or Charlie horse would actually be fused or complete tetanus, the far right picture. Bailey.
So if you use like a stim unit for your muscles, which one would that be?
Most likely summation.
Okay.
Because you're not getting a full-on cramp there, right? You're talking about just stimulating it. Probably summation, which is unfused tetanus. If you crank that thing up higher, yeah, then you're looking at fused tetanus, which would be like, ouch, cramp, yeah.
Infused or
complete
tetanus, that's usually where muscle damage occurs.
Not necessarily. It's like if you get a Charlie horse in your calf muscle, that's a fused or a complete tetanus situation. It's just locked up with the heads bound to the actin filaments and unable to release. When you experience muscle damage is when you're doing work that tears the actual muscle structure. That causes a problem because we don't have satellite cells that merge in and do a repair job very easily. Yes, they take longer to repair. Celine.
The functions of the nervous system.
Functions like sensory integration motor, I would just look over that. There's going to be some questions on it, but you know, I wouldn't put all my time on that page. If you guys get stuck and you want to talk it through, you're welcome to email me where you're stuck at. I'll talk it back with you. You can come by and see me. I know Success Day is Wednesday, but if you let me know when you're on campus, I can meet you up on campus over at 5416 and work it through with you. Okay, so if you need help, if you get stuck somewhere, let me know. All right, I'll see you on Monday.